no salt diet, I'm not supposed to have any salt.
Okay. February, today's February 27th. Two salt.
His brother Placid grows from Richardson, and I'm at the home of Francis Burkhardt in Bismarck. Francis is a native of Linton. Or should we say Linton?
St.
Michael's Church, St. Michael's Community, which is east of Linton.
Your name is Francis?
Francis Burkhardt.
And when is your birthday?
December the 14th. I was born in 1910. I'm facing 90. If I live long enough for my next birthday,
You're getting right up there.
I'll be 90 years old.
What was your father's name?
Wendland Burkhardt.
Was he born in Russia?
Yes, in Strasbourg, South Russia. He was born on November the 27th in 1874.
When did he die?
October the 2nd in 1939.
And where is he buried?
In Strasbourg, North Dakota.
Strasbourg. And what was your mother's maiden name?
Schweitzer. Eva Schweitzer.
Eva Schweitzer. And where was she born?
She was born in Russia, in Strasbourg, South Russia, too.
And when did she die?
When was she born?
When was she born?
March the 2nd in 1884.
1884. She was 10 years younger than your dad?
And they died 10 years apart, too.
Oh, so they both got the same age.
Well, Ma was a little older. She got to be 65, but Dad was only 64 when he died.
Did they get married in Russia?
Yeah. They had two children in Russia. They both died, and they're buried over there. A girl, the oldest, and a boy.
Oh, do you know what names they had?
Eva was born on the 30th of
November
in 1901.
Yeah, and the boy?
And the boy was born just a year after. Not even a year. The boy was born on the 2nd of November in 1902.
Do you know, did that boy have a name too?
Paul.
Paul. And then how many more children did they have?
Now, Tony was they came to America then. In 1903, in January the 6th, 1903, they landed in America. And now, Tony was born in October that same year, the 3rd of October in 1903. Then he was the oldest one then here in America. And then they had a number of children. After Tony was a little girl, but she died, Magdalena.
And where is she buried?
St. Anthony, south of Napoleon.
Was it Anthony?
Mm-hmm. And then was Carl. He was born in 1908 on the 7th of March. No, this little girl was born on March the 6th in 1906. And then Carl was born in 1908, 7th of March. Then it was in me. I was on the 14th of December, 1910. And then Sebastian was born on the 23rd of February, 1913. And then they had a little boy. It was still in the old house, in the sod house. I remember that real well. In June, I'm not sure now, it was the 11th, the 8th or the 11th of June. I haven't written it down, I should have looked it up. And that one was born in 1916, but died.
And where is he buried?
St. Michael's. We have two there side by side, the Michael and the Eugene.
Okay, then after?
So, and after Eugene was Michael. And he was just a year after Eugene was Michael, and he died too. But he lived long enough, they took him to St. Aloysius. You know, we were a mission to St. Aloysius, St. Michael's at that time. The church was there, but no priests, we were a mission. And nobody had any cars, you know, we had to go by a team. And I remember that we were in catechism school, and when we kids came home, we didn't know, you know, there was a baby coming or whatever. There was a little coffin in the front of the room and little dead baby in there. Then we cried, you know, we wanted that baby, but it was dead. But they took him to it, and he was baptized by a priest on it. But Eugene just had the, what do you call, the new duff.
Emergency?
Well, a baptism by whatever. And he didn't get baptized by a priest. I think Ma did it, you know. What is it called? When they baptize somebody with, can't think of the word, I know
well,
it.
If they're,
No duff. In German,
no
you say the no duff, yeah.
When there's no priest, then anybody can baptize.
Yeah, him. Yeah. Well, Eugene was baptized like
okay.
that. And then after Michael, came Dorothy in 1918 through the flu. She was born 23rd of November in 1918. And then was Chrissy. Christine, she was born on the 24th January in 1922. And then there was a gap of 5 years between Chrissy and Wendy. Wendy was born on the 23rd of June.
Gwendolyn,
yeah. 1927. So that's it. They had a bunch of children, but only seven living. Only Chris and I living now, but we only had
seven that survived.
Seven in all, yeah. And then when Wendy was born, you know, Tony was already married and they had two children, so we never had a big family. We were never, you know, a big family together because there weren't that many.
Did your parents talk about Russia?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember anything what they said about Russia?
Well, there wasn't much, like my dad was not much of a talker, you know, he was a quiet man. But she was the last in her family, the baby. And her father was sick with asthma for 24 years. He could not do anything. They were poor. And, they had a few, they didn't call it acres in Russia, you know, Dissidine.
Hectare.
Dissidine.
Dissidine.
Mm-hmm. And I think one Dissidine was 2.5 acres, like our acres. Uh-huh. It seems to me it was 2.5 acres. And I don't know, they didn't have much. Grandpa couldn't work. And then Ma's brothers, Andrew, he was married over in Russia, and Uncle Carl was still single when our folks came in 1903, but they were here in America. They lived out in St. Michael's, north of St. Michael's. Uncle Carl lived in with Uncle Andrews, but Uncle Andrews were married and had children already. He was the oldest, Schwarz Andres. So anyway, when they came over to Folkestone, then they lived it. I don't know how long they lived with Uncle Andrew, I think until spring. And then they hired out to Anton Sanger's. You know, I still have this copy, it was in the record. And I think this is the house where my brother was born in, this log. There's a house that's in the record, I see.
Oh, I see, yes, I saw that right up.
Mm-hmm. That's where my folks worked for a whole year.
Well,
both of them, mom and dad, both of them together for $300 a year. Two people.
Well, did your mother talk about the cows they had in Russia?
I don't know if they had any. Yeah, they had cows, but I don't know if our...
Or the garden?
If our folks... Fruit. They had a lot of fruit. You know, they used to say it's like it was there where they came from. It was like climate like California. They had all kinds of fruit, apples and pears and everything.
Uh-huh. And when they came over here,
Must have been so sad. And sometimes when I like to talk, reminisce, you know, and then I sometimes say, how, no wonder they all died so young. Like my grandma Schweitzer and grandpa Burkhardt were over here too, but they lived only a few months and they died. They're both buried in St. Anthony outside Napoleon, Burkhardt grandfather and my Schweitzer grandmother. One lived, I think, 5 months and one 7 months. But they must have died just, you know, coming over here. And, well, if they got 160 acres of land, yeah, but where's the house? You got the 160 acres of land, but where are you going to live? Mm-hmm. And that's why they started the sod houses.
Do you know what your mother died from? She was only 65.
Stroke.
The stroke?
Yeah, we are prone to strokes people, you know.
Oh.
My dad died of a stroke. Ma died of a stroke. Carl, Dorothy. Now, Wendy, we don't even know for sure. He had either a massive heart attack or whatever. He was a vegetable for a month until he died. He was only 57 years old. He died in Spokane, Washington.
Oh.
And Dorothy died of a stroke. Carl, Dorothy, Ma, and Dad.
Now when they came over here, where did they settle? I mean, where was their farm?
Where it is still there, where Horner lives on the hill there.
Andy Horner.
That was our home. That's our homestead.
Oh, that's about what, 2 miles east of St. Michael's.
Mm-hmm. About 2.5 miles, yeah.
Oh, so you remember the sod house?
Yes, I even started scrubbing floor in the sod house.
Yeah, how could you scrub a floor in the sod house?
Well, we had a wood floor. We didn't have a llama putty, you know, like we had a wood floor.
Oh,
I remember that.
Uh-huh.
Can I talk funny?
Sure.
I was only drunk once in my life, and that was in the sod house. You know, in a sod house, they had these thick walls like it shows in that write-up.
Yeah.
And, you know, the windows were outside, there was wood, you know, and they always had some schnapps, you know, the sweet stuff. It must have been either apricot schnapps, I don't know what it was, but anyway, it was sweet. And the folks were out milking, and I was young. I bet you I was not more than about 4 years old, maybe. But I remember it. I must have been in the house alone, and they had the bottle of schnapps flush, you know, on the windowsill. It was deep, about this deep, that windowsill, and a little glass by it, you know. And I crawled up there. I don't know what made me crawl up, you know, like kids. And then I spilled. And I remember that like it is today. And I spilled some. I was going to, I think, pour some of that schnapps out or whatever. And I spilled it and I scooped it up with the glass and I was drinking, you know.
Oh.
And I got myself loaded. So when the folks came in, I remember that I was sitting under the table and I was singing when they came in from doing the chores, you know. This wasn't.
You were happy, huh?
So that. I remember that, yeah.
Well, do you remember, then you remember carrying the dry cow chips in?
You picked
the dry cow chips?
Wagon loads full.
Uh-huh.
There was a build-up clouds, you know. Ja, Kinder, gehen out und lassen mich das Gepäck, and then you had to run and that you had something to burn.
We had to pick it up before it got wet.
Yeah. And then we used to put it in the shed, you know, to keep it dry. And yeah, we made the mist, you know, too, like everybody else.
But did you make those blocks?
That was our project for 4th of July, you know, to set it up, you know. Mishki Kratz, they used to say. Mother used to say, Grino Narda Mishni Divka Kratz, again, he did the 4th of July. That was the dare, you know, you had to have the Mish Kratz.
How did you pack it?
With horses.
Did you drag something behind the horses, or? You have a packer or some kind of?
No, it was Hanno Mishtrich, they laid rocks on there, you know, to pack, to make it heavy. But most of the time they just did it with horses, I think. Round and around and around, you know.
The horses' feet hooves. Mm-hmm. With packing.
And then when it was packed, you know, then they cut it with the...
The spade?
Spade. And it was, the blocks were about, well, let me... Maybe as big as this here. Not quite as big square, you know.
Yeah, 14 inches by 14, maybe 14 by 14. Oh, for the John Basavichius.
You know, that's, I have the Fargo, that's the Fargo.
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah.
Because I know him, he's on the frontier too.
Yeah, I feel so sorry for him. He's got leukemia.
Oh.
So anyway, I don't want to interrupt this here now.
Yeah.
See, then when it was cut the first time, then you put them two pieces together like this, that it had to dry, and then you had to do that a lot, you know, and then you put it. Four pieces together again, one on top, and then it was with set like that for a while, and then you had to make it in Mishkufka Graz, you know. Then I could still do it, I would know how to do it.
Oh, did you use the horse manure too, or just cow manure?
Everything. No, horse manure was that burned so easy, you know. The cows was kind of heavy, but we used it from the barns, you know.
So that's all mixed together.
Mm-hmm. Well, they put it in the wintertime, they put it on a pile. You know, you could spread it out in the wintertime, then they would, in spring, then they would put it on the bed, you call it the mish bed.
Oh.
And spread it out, you know, and level it. And then after spring work when they started, you know, spreading it out and preparing it to have it. But it took until... Then after this was always our project before the 4th of July. And then later on it was put into stacks. Mishtaufe.
Did you have to smear it on the side?
Yeah, I went through all that stuff.
You took fresh cow manure
and mixed it with straw.
And mixed it with straw.
Uh-huh.
Then you smeared it on.
Keep the rain out.
So the rain doesn't blow in between, or the snow. Did you do that with your hands, with bare hands, or did you have a trowel?
Oh, I don't remember that. Maybe we did have it. I didn't care to go into that. We went in with the feet, you know, to with the straw, with the mished.
Oh, really? Mixed up?
Not with the hand.
Uh-huh. Well, did you have a... Washtub maybe?
Or a trough of some kind. I don't remember that. But then that was the main fuel, you know, that you burned. They had to have mist, otherwise... Well, we had coal too. Later on when that lignite, those lignite mines started, you know, and we had a truck, then we didn't burn that. We didn't make mist anymore. Lignite coal, they were cheap. $4 a ton or something like that.
Oh.
And then Tony, my brother, used to haul it, you know.
Yeah, okay. From where did you haul it?
From Wilton and up here around Hazen and Beulen, someplace where these mines are. That's why
it was quite a ways with the truck.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's nothing around here, you know.
I thought maybe it came with the train.
Well, no. No, Tony always hauled it. Well, it sometimes like that hard coal, you know, that would come to Linton on the train.
If you had a truck, I'm sure it would be cheaper.
To get it here, sure.
Yeah, to get it yourself.
Yeah. Especially that lignite, you know, that was big chunks. And
yeah.
He hauled for other people too, Tony did.
Do you remember when the gypsies came around?
Mm-hmm.
Tsigano. Do you remember it, Dot? I've never talked to anybody who remembered actually seeing the Tsigano.
Oh yeah, I do. They were always dressed up real nice, you know. But now I don't remember of them ever stealing anything from us. Because you were scared when those people, we didn't see them too much. But we had all kinds of people. You know, Ma was that way, she kept everybody overnight. We used to call it the bedlam. And some of them even would drive. I remember one would come with a, what do you call it, one horse shay, a little tabugula, you know, a little one horse on that there. And they used to come around all the time in the summertime. And our neighbors, I don't know, they didn't keep people overnight. I'm not going to mention any names. And they always sent them to us. And Ma took them in. We never were hurt or anything. And, and people that we had never seen in our life. One time we had, they were Jewish, older man and a young guy. They were with us a whole week. They stormed in. This wasn't the winter time. They even drove with the team. And that they were there with us, just like they belonged to the family.
Oh, yeah.
Then he was peddling dry goods. I know when he left, that was that jersey, and it was you know what you say,
stretched
so much. And Ma would sew herself some dresses, you know. She got a whole bundle, you know. And that stretched out of shape. Oh, yeah, that wasn't worth anything. Later on, you see, I suppose that was stolen stuff. They must have.
Oh.
And then they came around and sold it.
So he was driving with a horse?
Mm-hmm.
That two?
Mm-hmm.
Or one horse or two horses?
No, two horses.
Two horses.
A sled. No, it's sled.
A sled?
A sled in the wintertime,
yeah. From farm to farm selling them.
Where?
Cost.
Yeah.
What else did he sell?
I don't know. I don't think anything else. I think it was all the same. But then, years ago, we had the Watkins and the Raleigh man.
Yeah, they used
to. They always came to our place, too. Not overnight, but they always. We used to wait for them. They'd give us some candy or chewing gum or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
The Raleigh man was from Napoleon. I think his name was Oman.
Oman. Well, I remember Theo Arnst.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was the Raleigh man, wasn't he?
He never came to our place, but yeah. I know him. I knew him.
He was from Bernstadt.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I'm wrong, I know.
Well, the one was crippled. That used to come for, I don't remember what he was doing, but he had, so I'm back, you know, one of the Arnst boys.
Oh.
But I don't remember what his name was.
So what did the gypsies do? What did they want?
Well, they wanted money. Or they would, well, a lot of people remember that I have talked to, and they say you were scared of gypsies.
Mm-hmm.
And they would go in and take stuff. But we never had that experience. And I don't remember that they were there that much, maybe once or whatever, but I knew about
it. Mm-hmm. Well, how many?
Tsigano.
How many do you think came in one?
Well, one or two cars. They came with cars.
Oh, they had cars already?
Mm-hmm. Well, this was later. That was not the beginning, you know, when we started.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you remember in the 30s when you got relief?
We didn't get relief.
Didn't.
I mean, I think, my folks never applied, I don't think. But later on, then, we got some of that canned meat. You remember anything like that?
No, not canned meat.
Yeah, you know, we got, what was it now? Beef or One was sheep.
Sheep meat?
What do you call it, lamb?
Lamb,
what do they call
mutton?
It? Lamb or mutton, I think they called it.
In the can?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah?
And Dorothy wouldn't eat it. And then Mom, well, during springtime, you know, well, that was handy, you know, it could open. And then Dorothy wouldn't eat that. If she knew it was mutton, she wouldn't eat it. And then Ma, one time she had it, and she put onion in, fried it nice. And after we had eaten, then Ma said, "What did you eat today?" "A beef." And Ma said, "You ate mutton today." You know, at that time, nobody knew what grapefruit was. Well, we did, but I know that some people got grapefruit. And that they wouldn't, they gave them to the pigs. They said they could have kept their sour oranges. They didn't know they were grapefruit, they wouldn't eat them. Yeah, that was quite something.
No, we eat them. Yeah, I know people didn't know, did not know what that was.
Yeah. For celery, you know, that we used, I don't know if anybody got celery, but when celery first came out, yeah, that was something that we had never seen before. But I used a lot of celery in food.
Oh, getting back to the old country, did your parents ever get letters from Russia?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Did they?
Well, you know, when their family was, well, grandma, they all came over here. See, Grandma Schweitzer, my mother's father never came over here. He died when Mom was only 12 years. And then there was hardly anybody over there, but even until Ma had a sister that never came over here. She was married to a pretty rich guy who was a contractor. Their name was Brandis. His name was Julius. But he died in...
Julius Brandis?
Yes, Julius Brandis. Mm-hmm. And he died in 18, during the flu.
In Russia?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And when the folks were still over there, when she was first married to this man, this Petr Krishtin, you know, it was, Aunt Christine was Ma's sister. And then Ma's parents, they kind of got a little bit more on their feet because she would help them out. But then she never came to America because she was married and had three children. And I can't blame her, you know, for not coming over here. And the reason my parents came over here was to get away from wars. Because my dad was in the service 4 years. And then when they got out, he and Uncle Paul both, you know, his brother-in-law. And then there was another war brewing, but I don't remember who it was with. I think it was with Turkey. I'm not sure. And then they came over here to get away from getting into the army again, you know, to get back in fighting war. I did they have it hard, those men, when they talked about it. Dad said they saw almost starved, they had nothing to eat.
When he was in the Russian army.
Yeah. They had, they carried their utensils of eating wood for eating in their boots. They had a fork or a spoon or whatever. And they had dark bread, black bread. Sometimes they would break it open and the worms would crawl out. And they would shake the worm out and eat it.
Oh my.
Just imagine. Yeah.
Oh. Well, your Aunt Christine, do you know what happened to her in Russia?
She starved. Would you like to see a picture?
Yeah.
18, I know that.
He died in the flu.
She had the flu over there too. I don't know if he died off the flu, but he died at that time. This is Alexander and this is Catherine. And Marianne was not born yet. And then, you know, when they had this disturbance in Russia, they came and got the men, they took the men away,
yeah.
And married, they had no children. And her husband, I don't remember now what her name was, her married name. This one was a Strifel, was her married name. And Mary, they told them that they're going to bring the men, to march them through the city or whatever, the village, Dorf they call it. And they could see them. And she saw her husband, but they could not talk to each other or would do anything. That's the last time she saw him, and she hung herself. She committed suicide.
Okay, now who's the one that committed suicide?
Mary, the one that's not on here.
Oh, the one born later.
Yeah.
Okay, do you know what happened to this Alexander and his sister?
We lost track. Some of their children might be living. But we had somewhere in Siberia some of our relatives.
Yeah.
But we lost all track. Well, Ma, after Dad died, Ma couldn't write. She could write German, but not like a letter. And I used to write for her. And then after I started work for Father, then there was so much to do and other things. I got interested in other things. And we kind of got a little bit lazy, you know, with writing. But I kept in track with Ma's cousin, Pauline Schlosser was her name. And she fled from they lived in Strasbourg too. And they fled from Strasbourg. They went into Germany. And she lived in Berlin, this Pauline Schlosser. And I used to write to her through Ma, you know. Ma would have tell me to write. And then, and she died, though. I have a picture of her, too, but where I forgot it, Lord only knows. I used to send her some of my clothes, and she had one of the pictures that she sent back was, she had one of my dresses on.
Oh.
This Pauline Schlosser.
When she lived in Berlin, Germany.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then through her, we heard then she sent a picture, too, where from Siberia that she had gotten from some relative where one of our relatives was on there. They had not even shoes to wear and cold. She had boots on and had her feet wrapped up with cloth, you know, with clothing, I suppose, and wrapped
rags,
up.
Rags.
I don't know how these people will ever be able to answer for those things that they did to these people.
What about your mother's other brothers and sisters? How many stayed over there, or how many came over?
They all were over here. She did. She only had two sisters and two brothers.
Yeah, but this one, your mother's sister.
Yeah.
So this the only one that stayed back.
Yeah. See, Ma Bessel Modlin, Miss Paul Sanger was Ma's sister, and they're all dead now. Uncle Andrew Schweitzer was her brother. He was the oldest one. And then Carl Schweitzer was still single when the folks came over, but he married Uncle. They have two brothers married two sisters. The sisters were Schlosser girls, and the boys were Schweitzer, of course. Uncle Andrew had married Aunt Christine Schlosser, and then Uncle Carl married Kinigunde Schlosser. And they're buried in St. Michael's, called Carl Schweitzer and his wife. And Andrew Schweitzer died in 48, that was Ma's oldest brother. They moved across the river in those poor days and times, you know. And he died over there, and she died over here. She's buried up here at St. Mary's, Bethel Christine. That's a Christine, too. She was a Schlosser. That was Ma's sister-in-law's. She had only two brothers.
Nice.
They had more children in Russia, but so many of them died, you know. They had no doctors. And like the folks, they had two, their oldest, and they both died.
When you were young, what work did you like to do when you were growing up?
Reading.
Reading? What did you read?
All kinds of stuff. I could read German when I was just a little girl. So when I got something to read, I would forget my work. I could would get spanked many times because I was a reader. I still am, you can tell. But my eyes are going. So, but I did always housework, scrubbing and cleaning and washing dishes and cooking. I cooked when I was only 8 years old.
Oh, really?
The folks were all out in the field, and Dorothy was a baby, and I had her at home. I milked 9 cows every evening.
When you were 8 years old?
Before I was 8. Really? Because I know we didn't have a Dorothy yet, and I must have been only 7, and I milked 9 cows every evening. We had 10, but the one I couldn't milk. It was kind of hard to milk, you know.
Well, what did you cook?
Mom would prepare it in the morning, and I knew the clock, the time. At such and such a time, you set it, and this was a kerosene stove. One time I almost burned the house down. We had all kinds of experiences. This was the new house even. But this was in the morning. The folks had gone to Strasbourg and with the team, you know, and Carl and Tony and I, we were out milking, but I put the coffee, you had these coffee pots, those big coffee makers, you know, years ago, not like nowadays. And anyway, I put on the kerosene stove and put the coffee on, you know, and we went out to milk. And we had the separator in one of the rooms downstairs. We called it the furnace room, but the furnace was in there. And Tony went in and carried milk in, and when he came in, the house was all full of smoke. So the fire in the kerosene stove got bigger on its own, you know. I must have had it a little bit too high, you know. They would come, you know, burn higher a lot of times. If there was a little air or something like that, it would cause the fire to burn. And anyway, we had the trunk, an old trunk in the corner by the furnace, and that was where we kept our the dirty clothes, you know. And I don't know where the other clothes were, but anyway, this stove started, you know, these clothes on fire. So the house was all full of smoke, but we got it in time, you know. Tony put it out, so. Oh boy, that was a new house, was just newly painted. It was when the house was just newly built, and in spring, everything was clean. And then Tony went upstairs and opened up the windows, and where the smoke went out, the curtains were just black. I didn't even get a licking. Yeah, all kinds of experience. Oh, yeah.
Well, what work did you not like to do?
Washing the separator. that was, oh boy, that was my greatest, I don't know why, but I didn't like to wash the separator.
It was quite a job to put that back together.
Yeah, that was, and then you had to carry the water, heat the water from the house. And in the summertime we had the separator in the granary, you know. We had the little granary a little ways from the house, and always kept it nice and clean, and you had to, because so that was I hated to wash the separator. Well, you had to. There was lots of things I think that I didn't like to do, but you had to do them. There's no way.
Okay, but school, where did you go to school?
Half a mile east of the church. That was down in the corner. Do you remember that? That's what that was. No, the first school was at St. Michael's. There was a little school. Joe Rarick was my first teacher. Joe Rarick, that had that store over at St. Anthony, and then later on at Napoleon.
Okay.
I remember him, I think only 1 year, that the first, maybe the first grade or whatever. And then there was something, it seems to me it was in Che Kunz's yard. That was a little building that we went to school. You know, I went to school when I was only 5 years old and walked 2.5 miles. Sometimes I couldn't keep up with the boys, and I'd get a good licking too, and I would cry, you know. And
what was Joe Rarick doing? Was he a farmer, or was he? Did he have a store then already?
No.
He never had a store at St. Michael's, did he?
No. The first store that was at St. Michael's was Frank Rarick. Used to have a store. Frank Rarick and somebody else had the store there one time.
That's
a long time ago. Long time ago.
So that Coons was not the first one?
But it was in a different building. But I remember that store that Frank Rarick said, and somebody else, but I don't remember who it was.
Then you just went to grade school.
Yeah, I should have gone to more school, but years ago a girl didn't, they were supposed to get married and have a family. They didn't need high school. That was right. the idea. Well, I learned so easy, you know, it's too bad, but.
Did you have 7 months of school, or maybe even less?
Maybe even 5 and 6 months.
Uh-huh.
Never went there.
Did you have good teachers, like all of grade school?
Oh.
I mean, where did the teachers come from?
Most of our teachers came from Minnesota. I know, I still remember once, her name was Eleanor Clues. She came from Elbow Lake, Minnesota. And then we had one was Blanche Walensky. She was also from Minnesota. She stayed at Kuntz, J. Kuntz. She was a Catholic woman, not very nice. I got so attached always when we had to say goodbye to the teachers. We cried. And then we had men teachers too. I don't remember the first, well, Joe Rarick was the first one, but then I don't remember too many after that.
Well, what, did Joe Rarick have an education?
Mm-hmm. He went to Richardson to school when Father Lowinger went.
Oh, did he? Well,
I don't know how long he stayed though, because they went together. They were good friends. Father was always a good friend to Joe Rarick. In fact, when Joe Rarick was in Napoleon, when he had the store, Father would, when we went to Napoleon, we always went to Joe Rarick's store to buy groceries.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what did Father buy? A washing machine, I think. Yeah. When Joe Rarick delivered it. It was when Father Greiner was in Napoleon. Father Greiner even came down with him when he delivered the washing machine. Joe Rarick.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first washing machine that you had, huh?
The one that didn't go like this.
The one that you did not have to paddle by hand.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't even electric. That was, we didn't have an electric.
That's okay, but the one from Joe Rarick, that wasn't like a gasoline engine?
Must have been, I don't remember
it's
that.
A strap either. Engine, you step on it to get it started.
Yeah.
Do you know what year that was, when you got the first washing machine?
Well, there was a washing machine there when I started working, but they were wood, all wood, and I can't explain that
well,
now.
Well, you had to push it by hand.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we had, at home, we had one that was a big one that had two handles on. One went this way and one went the other way. You had to go like this. But then later on they had some different ones. They were smaller. And I think they washed a little bit better, but you couldn't get much in there. And that's what they had at the parish house when I started working there.
Had to by hand too.
Had to carry the water downstairs and heat it on a little kerosene stove and then do your washing and then carry it and wash the water out again. And we only got facilities in 42 at St. Michael's.
Did you, in school, were there other nationalities besides the German Russians?
They were all the same.
Then were you punished if you talked German?
Well, we were supposed, no, not punished, but we had to speak English, of course. But you didn't know anything. All we could say was yes or no. You couldn't speak English when we started school.
But you did not have to.
But
if you were caught talking German, they did not.
No, they were not that mean.
Did you have any Christmas programs at the school?
Oh, yes. I still remember one time what I had to, I can't think of it now, what my verse was that I had to say. John Hagel and I were on the stage, you know, whatever stage it was, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. And I had a doll. Christmas time is coming soon, now dear old man, whisper what you bring to me, tell me if you can. I can still. Johnny wants a pair of skates, Susie wants a dolly, Nellie wants a storybook, she thinks dolls are folly. Ask for me, my little man, what you bring tonight. Christmas. I'm stuck.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's over 80 years ago when I had that, sang in that program.
Oh, yeah.
I said to Sister Jeanette last night, I still know when she said she knows so many things about when she was 3 and 4 years old. I said, well, I'm sure I was not older than maybe 3 when I sang songs, you know, that my mother taught me. She put her legs out like this and folded them at the bottom, and I sat on her feet. And then I sang, Madame, Madame, so house is so to skate, and then this spielheit sing in deinem house. Sind die Spielheit in meinem Haus, spielen sie drei Wolze raus. Und ich geh nicht, und ich geh nicht, und ich geh nicht zu Haus. Just imagine, that's a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
But my voice is not good. Yeah, we were singers in our family. My mother, she didn't have a voice to sing, but she liked singing. And she said, Kino sing and Kino sing. And,
oh, yeah.
And we sang a lot. We were all musical.
Did anybody learn to play the accordion or the...
Well, when Father Langer came to St. Michael's, he started the band, and Tony was the drummer. And Tony got so good with drumming, he even drummed for Lawrence Welk sometimes. Not in a big band, but when he played at Strasbourg.
Oh.
And then Carl played the slide trombone. Wendy played the accordion, but not in Father's band. He was much younger, but when he was a little boy, we had a phonograph. And that little boy loved music. I was he crazy for music. And when somebody, like when Carl and Maggie got married, he was only 3 years old, and Gutenberg played for that wedding.
Gutenberg.
And Wendy stood up where the musician